With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Aaron Rodgers in the pack sitting pretty. Four wins and one loss so far this season. One reason why? Well, they start strong. Their 82 first half points this season ranks fourth in the NFL. Perhaps the Rodgers-LaFleur relationship is LaFleurishing after all.
Oh, jeez. Oh, my God.
Rodgers is very happy about where his team is right now.
We got one laugh, and it was from the person.
I like the way we're going, and I'm not going to put a timetable on when everybody's going to feel, you know, totally comfortable. I'm just going to say that I've seen progress since week one, where we struggled, and week two we came out, played a little better. Three, and then four, you know, we got the passing game going, and a couple of days ago we got the run game really rolling, and I like the way we're going. I really enjoy our team. I think it's a bunch of really good guys, and I enjoy the staff. And I'm not going to put any, timetables, expectations on. I'm just going to say that I'm really having a lot of fun right now, and I think the guys are too, and it's kind of contagious, and we're going to embrace that feeling.
So Aaron Rodgers has now mentioned on a number of occasions how much happier and how much better the team is seemingly getting along than years past. What do you make of Aaron Rodgers' ability to sort of embrace change this season? Because it's been change.
Well, this is the thing that I know about the greatest athletes that I've ever met, the greatest athletes that I've ever encountered on a regular basis. And that goes from basketball players, football players, Magic Johnson, Isaiah Thomas, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Reggie White, Warren Moon. Every one of those guys, not only did they have the elite of talent, the elite of the elite physical skills, but all of them wanted to be pushed about learning the game. And I believe Aaron Rodgers has that. And I do believe the relationship that he had was getting a little stale, and he needed a little change. And I thought Aaron, when he met Matt LaFleur, because I've met Matt, sat down, talked football with him, that Aaron would be impressed as far as what he knew about football. And I thought, because to me, I always try to train athletes to, when you show up, you have to relinquish that talent to that coach to get the best out of the talent. And typically, when we see people that are really talented and they want to do it their own way, they're not going to maximize their talent. But the best of the best that ever I've been around, I played with 8 Hall of Famers. My brother introduced me to those other basketball players at a very, very young age. And that was the thing all of them had in common. People could not understand why Isaiah Thomas left the rough streets of Chicago and went and played for Bobby Knight. He knew he needed that type of discipline in his life to be the type of basketball player and the man that he wanted to be. Magic Johnson with the Lakers, he used to win every competition, every race, and he wanted to understand every nuance in the offense and in defense. That's the way the best of the best are. And I thought Aaron would relinquish his talent to someone who's going to give him a different version of football that he's never heard. He had that early on with the Packers coach, Sherman. I mean, with McCarthy. He had that on, but somewhere along the way, Aaron took his talent and said, my talent is better off me freestyling than listening to you. And I'm glad he relinquished it to Matt LaFleur, because that's what a big-time athlete is supposed to do. A coach will get the best out of you, but only if you allow him to. And that's what we're seeing, and that's what we hear in Aaron with his interviews.
And the reason Aaron Rodgers is happy is not just the change. It's their winning. The Aaron Rodgers knows, I can be great, and that doesn't necessarily mean we win. The last year Aaron Rodgers was great statistically was 2016. 40 touchdowns, 7 picks, a 105 rating, monster year. Vintage Aaron Rodgers year. They won 10 games. And in the NFC Championship game, we're down 31-0. And it was a wrap against that Atlanta Falcons team, because they were drawn dead from first quarter of that game because they couldn't get a stop. Just couldn't get a stop, and you just knew, okay, Falcons are going to score every time they have the ball. And I think the Falcons did score the first 7 possessions they had the football in that game. Aaron knows, okay, we're 4-1. through the toughest part of our schedule. Our next two games are home games against Detroit and Oakland. If he looks at the schedule, there's only two games the rest of the year we know they'll be underdogs. At Kansas City, at San Francisco, maybe at Minnesota. They're staring at a 12-4 season, almost at a minimum.
That's the least amount of offensive talent that he's played with.
Right. Doing it right now without Devontae Adams. Doing it where he has the least amount of pressure on him on a week-in, week-out basis to be great. Mm-hmm. And he knows there is only one thing that is going to change people's minds on Aaron Rodgers if you're not in the camp of this most talented quarterback I've ever seen. That's winning another Super Bowl. Getting to another Super Bowl. And so I think it is okay whether I wanted to initially submit my talent or not. What's going on right now is working, and I don't have to be great every single week. And I think that's what's making them happy, is that they're the favorites in that division. They're the best team in that division, and they're through the hardest part of their schedule. And I think right now, if you were to reset the Vegas over-under for wins for this team, it'd be 12.5. This is going to be a 12 or 13 win team that potentially can have home field go through Green Bay.
New coach, new offense, and they're 4-1 sitting atop the NFC North. Not bad. Back here, First Things First, now joined by former Pro Bowler, funny man, Bart Scott.
Ain't nothing funny about how you flexing on them today, you know what I'm saying? They can't even appreciate the construction of this outfit you got on right now. You got to wear that to happy hour after this one. Tell us, see?
I love some Bart Scott. He wasn't lying, though. He wasn't lying.
And thank you very much. We are quickly approaching week 6 in the NFL, and that can mean only one thing. It is time to discuss super early candidate for MVP. And while I'm sort of kidding, I'm sort of not. There is a serious battle brewing for the honor. On one hand, you got Patrick Mahomes. On the other, the only quarterback with more touchdown passes than Mahomes, and that's Russell Wilson. So, Bart, I will pose this question to you through 5 weeks. Who is your MVP? Is it Mahomes or is it Wilson?
I love me some homies, but, you know, you think that he's surrounded with so much talent. We know that Russell Wilson is doing less with more, mm-hmm. doing more with less. Mm-hmm. You know, he has Metcalf. He doesn't have really a line. That's what I think that Russell Wilson is the true definition of an elevator. He's a guy that takes guys, whether it was Baldwin before, whether it was Golden Tate. He's a guy that's always elevated guys that couldn't really shine or star on other teams and make them better. He's a guy that, you know, you think about, you know, the deficiencies, and it's his fault right now, right, because he's taking a big chunk of the pie. You know, Mahomes is the beneficiary of being on a cheap contract. They're going out getting hired guns for him. He has some mm-hmm. of the fastest athletes, you know, tight end, offensive line, you know, able to make the trade for McCoy, you know, be able to go out and get Sammy Watkins, Tyreek Hill. So he's been able to be on that rookie deal, so he's benefiting from that. But if I had to pick anybody, go with McCaffrey.
Oh, that was – see, mentioned McCaffrey yesterday as far as an off-the-board.
Yeah, he's been special,
guys.
He's been
the MVP, the most valuable player to his team. Without Cam Newton, they have a winning record with a backup quarterback, a rookie quarterback, a defense that's still trying to figure out this new system. He's been doing everything. 200 yards. Only thing that can stop mm-hmm. him is cramps.
Well, I think this might surprise some people, but through 5 weeks, the MVP has been, to me, Russell Wilson. And you mentioned all the things Mahomes has going for him. Here's another thing Mahomes has going for him that Russell Wilson does not. The difference between having Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy design your offense and call your plays versus the Brian Schottenheimer system in Seattle is night and day. It would be a pleasure to see what Russell Wilson could do unleashed in an Andy Reid offense. But through 5 weeks, listen, Russell has a higher quarterback rating. He does have the one more touchdown. He is completing a higher percentage of his passes. And he's doing it, to your point, with less talent. The guy that's in the line of getting the absolute most out of his abilities playing with Russell Wilson, as far as Golden Tate, Doug Baldwin, now it's Tyler Lockett, who for the last season and a quarter now, Russell has a perfect quarterback rating when targeting him because he is putting Tyler Lockett in the best positions imaginable, and Tyler Lockett is turning himself into one hell of a player. The only asterisk I will put on it is this. While through 5 weeks, Russell Wilson, to me, is the MVP, the best bet would be for my money, Patrick Mahomes. Because I think by the end of the year, Mahomes' numbers will rebound from the worst game of his career statistically this past weekend. They will get Tyreek Hill back. Some of those weapons you've talked about, he's been without this year. And so I think Mahomes by the end of the year is more likely to be the answer. But right now, Russell Wilson's been the most valuable player in football.
Disregard the other two. McCaffrey's having an outstanding season there in Carolina. Yeah. Outstanding. Last year, he wanted to get 1,000 rushing and 1,000 receiving. And had set that as a real goal. Nick, after five games, stat-wise, where is Patty Mahomes compared to 2018?
So 2018, after five games, he has no interceptions this year. Last year, he had some picks. He has more yards this season. Last year, he had more touchdowns. So he is it's neck and neck, depending on how you want to look at it. It's passer rating.
But given how outrageous last season was, mm-hmm. and there's no one on TV that I've heard, and I watch everything, that said Patty Mahomes would duplicate what he did last year.
No.
Well, he's doing it.
Yeah.
And now we're getting ready to try to discredit that we used to always have this discussion about the greatest wide receiver. Well, Jerry Rice, he was with Bill Walsh and he had Joe Montana. And then when Joe left, he had Steve Young. That ain't his fault.
Right.
They wasn't running those hills with him. They weren't making all them spectacular catches. They weren't doing all that. So we're going to discredit? Just like Brady, all his Super Bowls. Is it Belichick? Is it the Patriot way? What difference do it make? Everyone, when they draft into an opportunity or free agent, do they take advantage of it? And Patty Mahomes is playing better than he played last year, which was a remarkable season.
That's true.
Russell is having a great season. McCaffrey is having a great season. But the best in the game is playing better than he did last year. And the only way you can give the MVP to someone else is if you say, oh, he's got a tight end, Kelsey. Oh, he's got Andy Reid calling plays. Yes, he does have that franchise, that intellectual talent that we talk about that's not a wide receiver and everything in Kansas City, but he's also taking advantage of it. He had every opportunity this offseason to get soft. He was traveling around. He was being honored everywhere. He had every reason not to come back focused. But he's come back even better, and I just like to be able to recognize that.
But we have, you could be a victim of your own success, right? Because we've seen him last year throw for 50 touchdowns. Will he duplicate that? Maybe not. And we know that, we have these sentimental favorites. Last year was Drew Brees, and he fell off late in the year. Mm-hmm. But we have, like, these lifetime achievement awards, right? And we've seen Russell Wilson play at a high level for a long time, yet to get the award. If he continues to put this team in a tough division towards the top in contention,
yes.
That it'd be a sentimental favorite to give it to him. Because we know that he's doing less with more. It's just like in basketball, you can give it to LeBron every year. Every year you can give it to Tom Brady. But people get tired of the same person. It's almost hard because he's competing against himself from last year.
Well, and the one last point, because there's going to be hard to find anyone that's a bigger fan of Patrick Mahomes than me. And Chris is right in this regard. Through five games this year versus last year, this year is a higher quarterback rating, higher yards per attempt, and a better touchdown interception ratio, and more total yards, right? So in that regard, he is already having a better season. His raw touchdown numbers are not off the charts the way they were last season. But through 5 weeks last year, Patty Mahomes was not the runaway MVP because Drew Brees was neck and neck with him mm-hmm. through the first three quarters of the season. It wasn't until Drew Brees fell off.
Yeah, he only got two quarters playing with Tyreek Hill, right?
Right, exactly right. That's the other reason why I think you can say right now McCaffrey or Russell Wilson are the league MVP if it was awarded at the third poll of the season. But by the end of the year, I think Patrick Mahomes' numbers are going to far supersede everyone's. I think he's going to have, I hope he actually has a better playoff resume than Peyton ends up having, but I think regular season, he's going to have Peyton Manning style, multiple MVPs, right. Consistently leading the league in multiple passing categories.
18 and 1,000 gets it done for McCaffrey.
1,800 and 1,000? Well, that'd be something. Yeah, 2,800 yards.
That's Marshall Faulk right there. Whenever you dress like that, Jen, you need to get up and twirl from him.
Oh, my goodness.
You need to get up and twirl from him. Put the hands in the pocket.
Marshall
when
Faulk
she comes back,
I,
she going to strut
Marshall
the
Faulk
runway.
And you what?
You got to strut the runway when you
we
come back.
We share a birthday, February 26th, Marshall.
I
thought I'd say that.
What do you think, Bart? Is Baker Mayfield just trying too hard to be a superstar and not as hard as just being a quarterback?
But I think did Dilfer say he was trying to be a superhero, right? Well, if he's trying to be a superhero, his left tackle is Blank Man. I mean, you look at Greg Robinson. Listen, during the week where who's a kid from Tunsil, the week where Tunsil got two first-round draft picks, they waived Greg Robinson to do some things with the roster. Nobody even tried to sign him.
Yep. Come and on, they waived. If people don't know what Bart's talking about, right before the season started, the Browns put Greg Robinson, their starting left tackle, on waivers to do some roster machinations, knowing that any team could claim him and take him from him. And they were so confident no team would want Greg Robinson, they could do that with their starting left tackle,
right,
which speaks to the position their line was
in. Remember the three little pigs, right? One built their house on straw. The other one built it with, like, mud. The other one built it on concrete. Well, their house is built on straw because they decided to go out and get all the fancy things. I want the fastest receiver. I want two bookend defensive ends. But what you forgot about the foundation, the offensive line. You know, what allowed Baker to be good last year is the fact that at least he had Zeitler. At least he didn't have any pressure up the middle. It allows him to stay in the pocket. But now when you know that, you know, your left tackle is like a turnstop, that you, all you got to do is push past him, there's no resistance, then you know that you have to get on your horse early. So you're trying to improvise because you're rolling to your right. And now what teams are doing is they're making sure that they invite him to roll to the right. You saw Bosa. All he did was a good old fish hook because you know that he was going to be running for his life. So you never saw anybody holding him up on the right side. How many times did he get sacked from the right side, somebody coming and beating the right tackle? No, they covered up all the holes in the inside, knowing that he's 6 feet. You can't see. Now you got to see. Slide to the right. Oh, your left tackle sucks. So now I'm going to go a big old fish hook, and now Bosa's continue to sack him from his left side because that's where the pressure comes.
None
so
of
it's
that
really
is
more
on
about
Baker.
Game plan. It's more game planning, right? It's game planning. We're forcing a sneak edge, knowing that you got to take the bait because you can't see over the top. We used to do it to Michael Vick all the time. We knew that Michael Vick, the same lanes that he throws through is the lanes that he runs to. So what we used to do is we used to cross the defensive ends in the middle. We used to call it TE stunts, and it distorts his vision. So now if I'm a shorter quarterback, everybody's 6'5", I'm 6 feet, what do I have to do? I have to escape to my right. Now I got the big old fish hook, so I tell that guy, hey, you got no two-way goals. There's no up and unders. You just do a nice old speed rush. He's going to flush, and you tackle him from the back. How many times did he get tackled that way? And you can tell that Bosa really didn't like Baker because he tried to give him a concussion. Whenever you see a defensive lineman come in and whenever you've been tackled, it was always like this, right?
Yes.
Shoot the hands, right? He came wide. You know why I come wide? Because I don't like you, and I tackle your hands, and if
so
I tackle
you
your arms, now your face hits the ground first. Only thing that saved Baker is the fact that his shoulder hit first. He didn't fall this way. He felt that way. He was trying to make him go night-night. So I love it. I can respect it both.
Listen, you mentioned you guys would do this to Vic, and Vic's similar size. Where Vic is very different is Mike Vick's the, prior to Lamar Jackson, maybe including Lamar Jackson, the fastest player to ever play quarterback in this league.
That's why you spy him.
Right. No, and you still, but even with his speed, what you're talking about, had some success against him. Baker is not a great athlete for the position. Baker is, he ran a 4.8 40. He seemed elusive at Oklahoma because you had that great offensive line. You have those mediocre Big 12 defenses. And Baker is a great quarterback in this regard. He has amazing arm talent. He has amazing accuracy when he can see where he's going. And what is, to me, what I'm seeing is Baker, because he's constantly under duress, he is trying to escape far too early rather than recognizing pre-snap, I got to get this thing out quickly because those lanes are going to, everything's going to collapse on me, and he can't escape in this league.
Right.
He needs to. Chris, I think you brought this up earlier, and I think it's right. People would compare him to Russell Wilson and Drew Brees because of size. He is not the athlete Russell Wilson is.
Nope.
Just X that out. But he is a similar athlete to Drew Brees.
Yep.
So
last time you seen Drew trying to run from something.
So how
but how many great offensive linemen does he have?
No, absolutely. Drew understands the game. What Nick is trying to get to, when is Baker going to get to the point where, because Drew Brees is his model. Mm-hmm. These other guys, Lamar, Kyler, and them, they ain't his models, man. You can't model yourself after a Mercedes 500 model and you're sitting there, you a three-cylinder. Mm. No, Baker is not that type of athlete. Now, he does have that type of arm talent. Baker's got to be able to figure out, and Freddie Kitchens, how can I get as many instant reads as possible? That is, I got to play that there is going to be a number one receiver, a number two, or I can get to the number three, because he is not going to be able to play games as he sees them. And that's it. You got to be ahead of it. Tom Brady is not playing to play as he sees them. He is ahead of it a tick or two because he's seen every rush, he's seen every coverage, and he knows where the outlet is on every single play. Almost every player that's an elite player in the league goes through a period where we try to be superstars and we don't know how to do it. Like, I wasn't prepared to break the NFL record in year 5, 6, or 7. It took a long time for me to really understand how I'm approached the game, how they're trying to defend me, and how to take advantage of my ability. Baker is in that learning curve, but as a quarterback, we speed it up. You're the first player in the draft. We speed it up on them.
So what you're explaining to me is that Baker needs to play in a West Coast offense, because what happens is
pick and stick.
The ball has to come up, because if I know you don't have a great offensive line, you know what I'm going to do? Exactly what San Francisco did. I'm going to sit in cover three, knowing that nobody can get over the top, knowing that you won't have time to throw the deep routes. So I'm going to sit Richard Sherman off 15 yards and read your drop. If it's three step, I know it's quick. If it's five step, I know I can sit at the sticks. They're challenging their receivers early. That's why Landry is the one that's leading the team in receptions, because he's the guy that gets the ball on the screens, the quick slants and things of that sort. They're trying to get the ball down the field to guys like Beckham, and you know, and that's what happens. The scheme has to match the player. You know, all the time we used to love going against North Turner because he was the seven-step drop, and we know that we had time to get there. So if we put pressure on there, the drop and the time for the drop doesn't match up with the route combinations.
And
you write that down. That's the first one of the year.
That.
You write
and,
that
and,
down.
And
that's
the
free.
Listen, Baker's got to be better. He's turning the ball over at an absurd rate. He's completing 55% of his passes. So offensive line and scheme, all this stuff notwithstanding, he has to be better. But the other element that can cure a lot of this is if the defense has to start playing the run before they play the pass. The other element that can help you in this is if you get back to what made them a winning team last year, which was a lot of double tight end and Nick Chubb gashing people.
Well,
they've done
hurt.
That in one game this year.
Tight end's hurt.
He got a broken wrist. And what happens is with Chubb, when I just explained, like, West Coast offense, cover three. What does cover three mean? That means I have an insert safety. That means you can't run the ball because you're running against eight in the box. They're disrespecting Baker because they know his offensive line can't hold up. So if I'm a team that can get pressure with four and I bring my safety down, now I got coverage all for all the intermediate stuff, right? Because I got four cross underneath, three deep. I don't have, you know, two deep, or I don't have a light box. So now I can stop the run, and you can't throw anything quick because I got everybody sitting in the slant lanes.
And the last thing is what Trent was saying. No, listen, Baker Mayfield plays with this bravado when he's out on the field. It's the same bravado that ingratiated him with the fans and with his teammates and all of it. And he has to find a way to sort of balance the two. Keep what makes him Baker, but also be able to succumb a little bit to what he needs to do to be a better
player. It's hard to be braggadocious when you're not good.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
The Saints, the 4-1 division-leading almighty Saints. When Drew Brees injured his thumb back in week two, many thought this team was doomed, but backup quarterback Teddy Bridgewater has played like starting quarterback Teddy Bridgewater, leading the Saints to three straight wins. According to All-Pro Cam Jordan, though, who was a guest yesterday on The Herd, Brees hasn't relinquished any of his leadership role.
Drew is still the general. You talk about what he brings to the thing. I mean, he was gone for a week, and he was still in L.A. when he was waiting for the swelling to go down his thumb or however that situation went. But the moment he came back in the building, he's the same Drew. He's the same guy who's going through different reads, different throws. You can see his progressions right behind Teddy. He may not be able to throw the ball, or what his timeline is for that is unbeknownst to me. But I do know that he's working. He's going through the motions of as if he was taking every snap. And that's something that you just can't replace.
All right, CC, if the Saints continue to play as well as they are and they don't miss a step with Bridgewater in there, Breeze comes back, all goes according to plan, what would a Super Bowl mean for Breeze and Sean Payton?
Oh, my goodness. I'll go to Sean Payton. I think it means more for Sean Payton, a guy that was suspended from the league and is also a guy that's had very mediocre seasons, being the tremendous play caller that he is. I think for Sean Payton, because he's already in a special, special breed. He onside kicks to win a Super Bowl to start the second half. Sean Payton's got guts, man. Not only the numbers will always be mentioned with Sean Payton, how he turned the Saints around. I mean, and the emotion for which they won that Super Bowl and who they won against. He got a Super Bowl win against Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
That's big time stuff right there. So I just think that it would mean a lot more for Sean Payton than it would for Drew Brees, because Sean right now is not considered in the greatest coaches ever. Drew Brees, he will always be in the conversation as far as the greatest quarterbacks. Now, if he wins another one, it just makes him, in the Hall of Fame, there are no distinctions in rooms. But when you're judging the players before they get to the Hall of Fame, there are some distinctions, and Drew Brees will be riding in super-duper first class, because he's had an amazing career. He's an amazing human being. He's an amazing leader. And that right there, he doesn't need another Super Bowl win like Peyton Manning needed one in Denver, even though they still had one apiece.
So for Sean
I hope
Payton,
that makes sense.
No, absolutely. Listen, for Sean Payton, it would solidify without question he's a Hall of Famer. And right now, I think he probably is, but because you could make the case against it because of the suspension.
Yes,
because
sir.
The Saints went 7-9 three straight years, but he gets to another Super Bowl and wins it. He's a Hall of Famer. So I'll set Sean Payton aside. Drew Brees, obviously, already a Hall of Famer. First ballot, no question, no doubt about it. But if he becomes a multi-time Super Bowl champion, his statistical resume is this. He's number one all-time in completions. He's going to finish number one or number two all-time in attempts. He right now is number one all-time in yards and is going to finish number one all-time in yards unless Tom Brady plays far longer than he does. He is number three all-time in passer rating, and he has a chance this season to become number one or two all-time in touchdowns. He and Brady could both pass Peyton Manning. So he will be one or two or three in every major quarterback category. If he has two rings to go along with it, there will be some people that stack his resume alongside Peyton Manning's and say, who was better? Now, to me, Peyton, they played in the same era. Peyton won four MVPs. Drew Brees won none. Peyton was a first-team All-Pro half dozen times. Drew Brees one time. Drew Brees, one of the 10 greatest quarterbacks of all time, no question. Peyton, to me, is in another class. But people will make that case. Right now, he is in the room of Steve Young's in this room. Aaron Rodgers is in this room. I would say Ben Roethlisberger, even though he has the two rings, is in this room of great, great quarterbacks. But he's not in the room with Brady and Manning and Peyton Manning, to me.
Because of the Super Bowl rings?
Yeah, because he only has the one title. And
I mean, he can't accomplish anymore as far as stats, so it's got to be right. About the rings.
Well, it's the cumulative stats, yes, and because he played in an era with Brady and Peyton, and each season the people looked at it, and very rarely did people say Drew Brees was the best quarterback that year. But another Super Bowl ring, to me, moves him into a room different than Aaron Rodgers is in, different than Steve Young's in. You could argue different than Troy Aikman. In, even though Troy's got three of them. So Brady's by himself, and then most people have Brady 1, Montana 2, and then an argument on the funnel on the way down. Brees will at least be able to make a credible case. He could be 3. I think he'd probably more like 5 or 6, but that is what it would mean for him. It would be uncharted waters as far as statistical dominance.
It's a tricky discussion because you have all the accolades and you have all the numbers and the statistics, but maybe not the ring. It's a team sport. You're not doing it by yourself. It's hard to put the same amount of weight on the rings as it is on your individual accomplishments. Where does it stand with you?
From a quarterback standpoint, you always have to put more weight on the rings because they have more control. When you try to put the ring distinction on the other players, it doesn't fit because the other players, they don't have control like the quarterback has control of the game. Yes, it is the ultimate team sport, but the difference in the quarterbacks, it's not only the numbers, it's about their leadership, but also did that leadership lead their team to winning? And the most important games are in the playoffs, and that would happen to lead you to the Super Bowl. The reason why Nick didn't mention one of the greatest throwers ever in Dan Marino, and the reason why is because he didn't win any Super Bowls. But you can't have a conversation about the greatest quarterbacks ever without talking about Dan Marino. So I think it's important in the era that you played, and that being right now when Manning, Brady are playing, Eli's playing, Big Ben's playing, Drew Brees is playing, he needs to be able to do something else to be able to set himself apart.
If they win the Super Bowl this year, depending on when he comes back, he could finish this season number one in NFL history in yards, touchdowns, completions, and attempts. And with a second Super Bowl, that would, despite never winning an MVP, and he's obviously not going to win it this year because of the injury, that would change the conversation surrounding him from a first ballot Hall of Famer to, is he a Mount Rushmore type of quarterback?
And I think the franchise, what the Saints have gone through with the bags over their head, then they had the hurricane. To say that he led that city, that team to two championships, that has to be a part of the resume.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.